Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day in Pittsburgh, PA, and we are here today in Shaler. And this is the Youth Football Super Bowl, or you want to call it Showcase, whatever you want to call it. We got a big crowd here, and right now, Pine Richland. This is the 8 and under, I believe 9 and under grouping with North Hills and Pine Richland. And Pine Richland is off to a 12-0 lead at this point. More games coming up today. And if you like youth football, it's a great day to sit outside. The sun is shining. The temperature is rising. Love to see you in person at 412-928-9370 if you're along the way. Call, and let's talk some sports. Coming up a little later, we have Casey White, who will be joining us. He is the orchestrator of this. He'll tell you all about these youth football teams that are playing here, and they have some very good young athletes I could see, you know, 9 years old and under, and some of these kids can really fly. And in particular, we got to find out who number 55 for Pine Richland is, because he has a fumble recovery and 2 touchdowns, so he'll be the star of the game if this holds. It's 12-0, Pine Richland. But we're here, again, talking at 412-928-9370. That is the number to call if you'd like to talk about a lot of things. And I'm going to rattle off my list right now. Beginning with the Steelers, of course, we have the second half of the season essentially coming up. They'll take on the Indy Colts coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You'll see the game on KDK. Our pregame coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. on TV. 2 hours of postgame after the game on KDKA+. Very, very big game for the Steelers as they take on a team that's 7-1 and flying high right now. And given the fact the Ravens already won this week, they took on Miami and beat a downtrodden Miami team, which cost the GM his job down there, but not the head coach. He's still coaching, and he will do so until the end of the year. 28-6, Lamar Jackson looked really good. But we have a lot to discuss about that game, and it's a very important weekend for the Steelers as well, because it's alumni weekend, and tonight a big dinner as they commemorate, can you believe it's 20 years since that Super Bowl in Detroit, and have vivid memories of that. And they won that game against Seattle, completing the first time ever a number 6 seed, went all the way through as a wild card team on the road the entire time, and won a championship. And we have a lot of guys coming back here tonight to take part in a big dinner tonight at Acrisure Stadium. Tommy Maddox, Charlie Batch, go on and on. Brian McFadden, Tyrone Carter, Ike Taylor, Chidi Iwoma will be back. Mike Logan, Russell Stuvance, Dan Kreider, Larry Foote, Chucky Okobie, Clint Kreewalt, Jerome Bettis, Trey Essex, a whole bunch of people, Adam. Andre Frazier, remember Brett Kiesel, of course, he'll be there. So many guys on hand for that one. Also James Ferrier, Aaron Smith, Casey Hampton, all the guys who made that Super Bowl win possible and that run to the Super Bowl possible. We'll have a big dinner tonight at the UPMC Club. It's presented by UPMC as well, and I'm looking forward to doing that. I have the honor of hosting it, and we're going to talk a lot of memories about 2005 and when they won that Super Bowl in Detroit, the last game for Jerome Bettis. What a wild ride that was leading up to that game. Again, it's 412-928-9370, the number to call. We'll get into the Steelers and what they have to do against Indy. They are underdogs for, you know, really the first time since 1999, back-to-back home games, three-point underdogs. And that hasn't happened in so long, but it's happening now, and with good reason. Although that line is very interesting to me because Indy is 7-1 playing very high. The Steelers' defense has given up a whole bunch of yardage in the last several games. In fact, the second half has been, when you analyze it, the second half in both games, the last two have been just the downfall of this team, quite frankly. 47% of the points they've given up have been in the fourth quarter this year, and that's something that needs to change. If you go back and look as we did, the second half drive, the outcomes of the two last games, the Bengals and the Packers, last couple of weeks here, there were a total of 11 drives by the opposition, 44 points during that time, and the Steelers have gotten just one stop. That's it. Here's how it breaks down. This is the second half versus the Bengals and the Packers. A field goal, touchdown, field goal, punt. That was the only time they stopped Cincinnati. Field goal, game winner. Then the next week, second half against Green Bay, touchdown, 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 field goal, end of game. So it's been a second half collapse, and that's certainly something that has to change. Especially last week, they had the lead by 9 heading into halftime, and then all of a sudden, whatever adjustments were made by Matt LaFleur and his offense, they came out and took it right to the Steelers. So big game tomorrow for the Steelers. They need to get to 5-3 and keep some pressure on teams like the Ravens, who are now 3-5 and moving upward. We'll talk about that at 412-928-9370. Also want to get into the World Series, because last night we saw something that you very seldom see. A Game 6 game-ending double play that went 7-4. You never see that. Left field, second base. And it's all because of a ball that got stuck underneath the outfield fence at Sky Dome. So, runner at first, bottom of the ninth inning, and at this point, Dodgers are hanging on to a 3-1 lead. First guy gets on, Barger hits one to the gap in left center field, and it is stuck. It flies right into the bottom of the fence, and it's stuck. So by rule, that's a double. If it hadn't been stuck, and the manager of Toronto said that he's never seen, in all the games he's played there and managed there, he's never seen a ball get stuck. Well, it did on this case. And if it didn't, the runner from first scores, Barger's probably at third base, and you're 90 feet away from tying the game. Instead, the runner who scored has to go back to third, Barger at second. So it's second and third, still no outs. All right, so they're still in very good position to tie the game, you would think. Sasaki, the Dodgers closer, taken out of the game at that point. He had pitched a successful eighth inning, but not so much in the ninth inning. And so they bring on, of all people, Tyler Glasnow, who was supposed to start tonight's Game 7 if they got there. So he's now in the game. And he gets the first guy, Clement, to pop up to first base. And then the next hitter, and again, it looked like it was going to be an RBI single, two-run single, whatever. Line drive to left. Kike Hernandez makes the running catch. Addison Barger at second base, he went too far. And he could not get back. They throw it to Rojas, who makes a good catch on a ball that was in the dirt. They double off Barger. That's how the game ends. 7-4, so now we're heading to Game 7 tonight. It's the Dodgers. It's the Toronto Blue Jays. And you wonder what Davey Roberts is going to do with their pitching situation. Shohei Ohtani will likely start. I don't think they've announced that yet.
It is confirmed, Bob.
It is confirmed, okay. So if he does... Charlie, I got to tell you, if he does start, I can't imagine him going, because he never pitches on 3 days rest, never. And I can't imagine him going too deep into this. But this is an all hands on deck situation, right? So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens, and so much on the line. It's funny, we go 162 games plus 46 games of the playoffs to get to one game that matters, and that's what it comes down to. What a riveting situation there, and I love classic World Series games, and that to me was a classic, as was the 18-inning game the other night. And that one, the Dodgers end up winning, and you thought, okay, the Blue Jays are in trouble. Yet they go out there and take care of business in L.A. Makes for a great back and forth, and we'll find out what happens tonight in what should be riveting television as well. 412-928-9370, you can talk about that if you want. Also, the Penguins, I want to bring them up, because the Penguins are going strong right now. I don't think there's any question that this group is playing very solid hockey. And, I thought it would be this way. I did. I thought Dan Muse and the way that he was speaking to his team, the way the drills are, the way things are going, that they have a much more, awareness of 200 feet of hockey. Not that it wasn't the case with Mike Sullivan, who preached it all the time. It's just that for whatever reason, things weren't working well under Mike Sullivan at the end of this. Also, I think a key is watching young players get into the lineup and get rewarded for playing. Again, under Sullivan, who did that back in 16 and 17 when he had some guys who were coming up through Wilkes-Barre Scranton, they made a big difference. And they got playing time. But ever since then, it's been more veteran-laden. So this year, we saw a line the other night of Kindle, Koivunen, and Novak. And Ben Kindle's 18 years old, and he scored again the other night. This kid is spectacular. He was on the first-team power play. That's how much trust Dan Muse has in him. And I think that's one of the reasons why you see an energized group ahead of him, the older guys, the Sidney Crosbys, Brian Rust, Evgeny Malkin. They have Philip Hollander on that top line, another young guy. And so they're using those guys in their lineup regularly, and I think that's good. Another guy who may or may not be here moving forward is Harrison Brunick. He still has, I think, a couple of games to play before they send him down if they're going to, and they may do it here. But beyond anything else, outstanding goaltending. They're getting it down in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton from Sergei Mirishov, but also Tristan Jarry has been very good. You have to admit that. A lot of people want Jarry out of here, and I understood if they were going to trade him. They still might. Who knows? But Arthur Shilas was a good underrated trade by Kyle Dubas. He wasn't going anywhere in Vancouver. He was blocked by two guys, Lankinen and Demko, who were ahead of him. And so good move by Dubas to say, hey, Jimmy Rutherford, hey, Patrick Alvin, I can make a trade for you if you want an asset. Just give me that guy. He's only 24. He's playing well. They've been alternating guys in goal. And they're 8-2-2. There's a lot to like about that. And I hope that continues throughout the course of this season. They're going to be certainly ups and downs, a lot downs, more downs than you probably think at this point. But I think their start is terrific, and I hope it continues. Right now, they have the most amount of points of any team, I think, in the NHL. At least they did the other night. They'll take on Winnipeg today coming up. And, of course, we have two big football games today. We have Penn State and Ohio State. That's coming up today at noon. And then later today, right here on these very airwaves, you have Pitt and Stanford, a huge game for Pitt. Johnny Patricia will join me at 12:30. We'll do a one-hour pregame heading into the network pregame show. Love to talk to you about Pitt and their chances of getting to the ACC championship game. And then tonight, all you soccer fans out there, you got the Riverhounds in Hartford taking place at Highmark Stadium. The Riverhounds, 8 years in a row in the postseason. The Riverhounds could go on a roll here. I'd love to see another home match if they win tonight. It would take some doing. Some teams have to get upset, but they have a home match tonight against Hartford. After winning last week 1-0, and the Riverhounds are playing very good soccer at this point. All right, let's get to the phone lines, Charlie Bourgeois, and we'll begin with Gus in Beaver County, who's a happy Penguin man, I believe. Hello, Gus. How are you today?
Every day is a great day for hockey, Bob, and all the best to you. Hey, Bob, congratulations to all the local teams that won last night, Aliquippin, Hopewell, all the other Beaver County teams. We have Central Valley coming up on Friday night. But these Penguins, I can honestly say I'm thoroughly enjoying watching the Penguins play hockey again. The last couple years was a struggle. It was looking like there was good chemistry on this team. We're getting all kind of people contributing. We got balance lines going for the first time in forever. Fourth line's contributing mightily. They're getting a lot of ice time, which I like to see. Sidney Crosby, I can't say enough about this young man. I mean, he's just so special. But, Bob,
you're old man.
I'm very, very encouraged with what's going on. It's a real nice thing to see.
It really is, and I love the fact that they're you know, they trust in the young guys. That's unusual, but for a team that brings in a new head coach, he's going to trust those guys. He's throwing them out. The fact that Kindle was in the top power play unit and got a goal the other night in that game, which was terrific. They got outplayed, I thought, early in the game. I thought it was Jarry who kept them in the game. They're down one zip. They score the next four goals unanswered by Minnesota, which had the best power play in the NHL coming into that game, and the Steelers made them go 0-4. The Penguins made them go 0-4.
Right. Hey, Bob, I got a little favor to ask you. I just found out from a little birdie, because Ben Kendall, I don't know if they changed their name or not, but he said his background is he's Italian with a name like Kendall. So I'm going to say if we want to meet at Serafino's, I'll bring the bottle of wine, and I'll help you with the bill. Me, you, the wife, and Lisa, and Mr. Kendall and his girlfriend, or whoever, let's have some good pasta and talk about Pittsburgh. What a great place we have here.
Well, I'll tell you what, Serafino's is a good place, and we have an interception by North Hills, and the kid is on the loose at the 18, the 10, and he's finally knocked down. So North Hills down 12-0 in this game has life as they take on Pine Richland in the 8-and-under grouping here. It's happening right before us. In fact, we're in the end zone, and who knows, we may catch a touchdown pass ourselves. Thanks, Gus. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. This is the Youth Showcase. It's their Super Bowl of all those young kids. You got the 9-and-under, 10-and-under, 12-and-under groups yet to be played. Let's go to Jameson, who joins us in Munhall. Hello, Jameson. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. It's a great day. How are you doing?
Oh, it's beautiful. I'm doing great. Thank you for calling.
So, yeah, feeling the same way as the last caller, you know, lifelong Penns fan, and I feel rejuvenated. I did not, for the first time in recent history, I did not even have fun watching the Penguins the last couple of years. And even the style and energy that they're playing with is different. So my question to you is, do you feel like that maybe they pulled the trigger a little too late on letting Sullivan go?
Too late? That's a debatable
question. Do you feel like they should have got maybe pulled that trigger a couple seasons ago?
I would say no to that, only because he had a couple of, Stanley Cup runs, and I think that buys you a lot of time. They came close, a couple of times where they got eliminated on the last day of the season to getting into the playoffs. I just think, like with all coaches, and this is true of every coach, you're hired to be fired or hired to be, moved on from at some point. And no matter who you are, you're going to have that situation stare you in the face. For years, Mike Tomlin's name keeps coming up in this kind of situation.
Yeah.
I get all that. I think the time was right. I think the time was right for Mike Sullivan. I think after 3 years of non-playoff hockey, that was the right time.
I don't want to take anything away from Sullivan's accomplishments, but in hockey, I feel like he coached it's like doggy years in hockey. Like, he coached a lifetime, basically, compared to like other NHL coaches. And I just feel like that timetable for an NHL coach is very short. And I don't want to take anything away from him, but I think hockey's the one sport where you can't get rid of the whole team, especially with the salary cap. But that, when you let go of a coach and bring a new one in, sometimes it just rejuvenates the team. And I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Absolutely, we're seeing it. And again, I think the one difference is Dan Muse, the expectation bar was low, okay? With Sullivan, it was always high because of what they had. And so he's taken advantage of that by not being afraid to throw guys in there who probably under Sullivan would not play, right? You'd agree with that. And I think also it's rejuvenated the older guys. I look at defense, right? I think Erik Karlsson is playing the kind of hockey that is elite again. And he's not scoring. I don't believe he has a goal yet, but he has a lot of helpers. And he's much more reliable. He'll still make that occasional mistake, as will Chris Letang. But those guys seem to be playing better with their defense partners, like Parker Watherspoon, a good pickup again by Kyle Dubas. And he's playing with Karlsson. You have, I think it was Ryan Shea who played a great game the other night with Chris Letang. You got a good mix of veterans with some young guys, and I think it's always good to get energy in a room, especially with the young guys. All right. Thank you very much, Jameson, for that call. But, yeah, it's, whether or not it was the right time or the wrong time, the time had finally come, and now it's a new era. And I hopefully, they'll pull the Washington Capitals. And when Stephen Carberry went down to Washington and make that into a very good situation when people thought it was going to be a terrible year and they get to the playoffs, and here they are still a strong team in the Eastern Conference. So there are some opportunities in the East. We'll see how it goes longer term, but that's 12 games in. And right now, how about the best duo in hockey? When you look at it, it's not the guys you see in Vegas. It's not the guys you see in Colorado. It's not the guys you see in Edmonton. You'd expect those to be. But the best duo, point-wise, in hockey right now, 1 and 2 together, most points with twosome, it's Crosby and Malkin at age 38 and 39, respectively. That's terrific. And if that keeps going, who knows? North Hills is getting closer to the goal line. And number one gets down to the one-yard line, and they mark it there short. They don't have replay here, do they? No, of course not. If they did, that could have been debatable. Anyway, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We are at the Youth Showcase for youth football here in Shaler, and it's a now big fourth down play, and North Hills is looking to get in, and they're stopped short. Pine Richland denies them at the goal line, and it looks like the Rams are going to take over here on downs, and or now they say, no, what is it, a touchdown or not? No, it's down. They're down at the, half-yard line. So North Hill's so close to getting back in this football game, but they're denied. We're going to take a break, and coming up later, we're going to talk to Casey White, who's the orchestrator of this really nice Saturday morning showcase. We'll get into him. We'll also talk about the Steelers. More calls on the way, so if you'd like to chat, please do so right now at 412-928-9370. Also, hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. We are live in Shaler on a beautiful day for youth football. Come on out and check it out. It goes on throughout the course of the day. And I'll take more of your phone calls next right here on the Bob Pompiani Show. We got an update coming up from Charlie Borges.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here in Shaler Township. It's North Hills and Pine Richland in the Fan Youth Showcase for youth football. We got 8 and under, 9 and under, 10 and under, 12 and under teams going on here. And they're all having a great time. Their families and friends are here. Just want to give a shout out to my grandson, Sonny. That's what I always say when I see him. So who knows, one day he may be out here doing this at youth football. But they're having a good time. And there's some really good players out here. I mean, 9-year-old group, man, they got some talented young kids, and we'll see them, I'm sure, as they go through their colleges. Anyway, I just wanted to get back into the conversation about Pitt today and how big this game is. Pitt can't afford to lose. Let's put it, you know, bluntly here. They can't. This is a Stanford team that's not all that good. I know it's out west. I know it's against a team that has a big reputation for football, but they're not that good right now. They just got pounded by Miami at 42-7. They did beat Florida State, but everyone's doing that these days. And Florida State is not as good as I think we first thought when they upset Alabama early in the season. They got highly ranked as a result of that, and it's certainly not been the same ever since then. So we'll see what they got today, but I think Pitt, the way they're playing, impressive 4-game win streak here. And they've scored multiple points, multiple touchdown possessions in these games, 48-7 over Boston College, 34-31 over Florida State. And that, to me, was one of the best showings, I thought, for Mason Heinschel. Because it was on the road, and the first time he faced that sort of on-the-road, hostile environment. And he did it, even though he made some freshman mistakes, he certainly rebounded from those quickly, and that's what you like about a young quarterback who can bounce back from a little bit of adversity. They go to Syracuse, wasn't a very sharp game, but they still won 30-13. And then last week, homecoming game against NC State, they just scored 53 points. He is rolling right now, and he just once again was the ACC quarterback of the week, and Kenny Johnson was the wide receiver of the week. All things are really going up. You got to give Pat Narduzzi a lot of credit for this as well, because they're in a situation where you could have stuck with Eli Holstein. They're paying him a lot of money in NIL money, but he didn't. He saw something in Mason Heinschel, and that's what coaches do. When you see talent, you know, you don't hesitate. You can make a case that if they had gone with Heinschel, it wasn't going to happen just because, as I said, the money was involved. But if they had started him at the beginning of the season against Duquesne, Central Michigan, and especially at that West Virginia game, which they lost in overtime, and West Virginia has been just awful ever since. They should have won that game. And the Louisville game, which they had a big lead on and lost at home, that was when the decision was made to move on. If they had done it earlier, who knows where they'd be. But in any event, they're 4-1 in the ACC. They have a chance to go 7-1 in the ACC. And if they do that, they'll play in the ACC championship. They have today, which again is a must-win if you're having these thoughts about where they go longer term in the ACC. They got to win today. Then they have a very, very nice bye week late in the season and before the 3-game stretch that includes Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Miami. All three of those teams are ranked. All three will be difficult. Notre Dame doesn't count as a conference loss, so you don't have to do it if you lose. But the 2 games after that, at Georgia Tech, which is undefeated, and then Miami at home, those 2 games will decide really what Pitt ends up getting. Miami has been good, but they've been down also. They lost a game they probably won back. Georgia Tech has been terrific, and that's down there, and that's a tough place to play. And we'll find out even more about Mason Heinschel and some of these young guys. And, again, I'll give Pat Narduzzi credit for not being hesitant to, using some of their young guys. They have redshirt freshmen, true freshmen playing all over the place. They've had to make adjustments for some of their linebackers who have been out with injury, and they're big-time playmakers, no doubt. Kyle Lewis, as well as Rasheem Biles, he's also – they've been injured. They've come up with Cam Lindsay. They've come up with other people moving in. Even some walk-on players have gotten some time. So kudos to Pat Narduzzi for going through some of this and making the best of it. And we'll see if that continues today. As for Penn State, they're going to be playing today at noon at Ohio State. What once was supposed to be a marquee game in the Big Ten has not turned out to be that at all. And it's not because Ohio State has dropped the ball. It's because Penn State has done that. They started off 3-0. Some people were upset with that 3-0 start because it didn't have enough crazy wins, although it was 46, I think, to 11 in their opener. FIU was 34-0, and then I forget what the score with Villanova, but it was a rout. But maybe not rout enough for some Penn State followers. The game that really turned everything around, and it could have gone in their direction. They had a lead against Oregon in overtime, but they lost in two overtimes to the number six ranked team in the country. Even if they lost that game, they weren't going to fall all that much, and they didn't. The next week was the killer. They could not take advantage of what the schedule offered to them, which was UCLA, Northwestern, and Iowa. At the time, after that Oregon game, you would have thought UCLA was automatic, but they dropped the ball big time there, 42-37. That was a game we had on CBS, KDKA. And then losing at home to Northwestern was all that was needed for James Franklin to be out of a job. And so here they are now looking to right the ship. They've lost four games in a row. They're 0-4 in Big Ten play, whereas Ohio State is perfect. They've been number one all year. They're going to stay there, 7-0, 4-0 in the Big Ten. And they've come off very impressive wins. They beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin last week, 34-0. Illinois, that was another road win for them. And really nothing's been close. Everything else, you know, Texas, their first game was a close one, 14-7. It was one of those games that featured a lot of defense and not all that much offense. So this is going to be a one-sided game, I suspect, today. Penn State is going to have to figure out what's next. They've already seen that, Matt Rhule, the guy that a lot of people thought would be their head coach eventually, got a new two-year deal from Nebraska. They're talking with some interesting people. And Joe Brady's a name that I want to bring up. They seem to be sniffing around more on him. Joe Brady is the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. I'll say that because Terry Pegula, who has a stake at Penn State and also in Buffalo, knows all about him, and he may have a helping hand in who gets that job. So we'll see. 412-928-9370. We have Anthony in Oakland who's on the line. Anthony.
With all of that you said about Pitt, there should be some criticism of Pitt also. To play that with that Reed young man when that game was way out of hand and getting his ankle hurt was inexcusable as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, you can always look at that. And I understand that. It happens, but it shouldn't have happened. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, the game was out of hand. It wasn't a close game at that point.
Right.
And he'd been injured previously. Remember, he missed, two or three games?
Yes, but Anthony, I'm talking about just the fact that he moved away from his starting quarterback who has a lot, and the NIL is a big component of this, right? And he made the move to a true freshman. That's not an easy move to make.
No, he should get credit for that. But he could also be criticized for playing a player who was essential to what they want to do when you had a game in hand. I mean, that, you can't run away from that, Bob.
I'm just saying. I mean, injury, stuff like that can happen at any point, and I'm less critical of stuff like that, although I understand the circumstances you brought up. Those are big players that they need down the stretch, but I think they've even done a very good job of putting guys in who've held their own in those situations.
Yes. Hey, Bob, look, I know you do a show with Coach Mike Tomlin, and I've been a fan of Mike Tomlin since he was with Tampa Bay and went to Minnesota. I like Mike Tomlin. But Mike Tomlin... right now, it looks like the emperor has no clothes. He was the one who made these pronouncements about how historic his defense was going to be this year without even seeing them in a meaningful game. He didn't even play them in the preseason. And they look awful. They are at a historic pace, all right, to be the worst defense the Steelers have had around here since probably the early 70s. Early 70s.
Yeah, well,
I'm not talking about after 72.
No, I get that. And if you listen to the beginning of the show, I talked about what's happened in the second half, which is where normally the halftime adjustments take place, and they've been out-adjusted big time. They've had 11 drives against them in the last two games, resulting in 44 points in the second half of games, and they've gotten only one stop in 11 possessions. That's the Bengals and the Packers in the second half combined.
Yeah.
That's not good. I mean, obviously. Listen.
Cut off.
Oh no! Go ahead if you want. I thought you were done.
No,
go ahead.
No. But Bob, he said he's a 18th year here now. 19th. What I'm bothered by is why he does not want outside counsel. Sometimes bring in some new fresh eyes. Bring in a veteran a defensive coordinator who could look over your program, and tell you what you're doing wrong, because something is going wrong here. You know, he's lost. There's nobody in those rooms who will stand up to him, and that's never good.
No, I agree. I totally agree with that. And I've said all along, I think that there are times when you have to adjust your coaching staff, and you have to look bigger. You have to look at guys, you know, and there are a lot of guys who've been fired from jobs, and they could be those eyes you're talking about, that they could be brought in on, you know, and Baltimore's done it before, where they brought in guys who have been there, have a lot of experience, and could offer at least different opinions about things. And I'm never against that.
Baltimore did it last year when they brought in Dean Pease back.
Dean Pease, and they made a big deal about Dean Pease. And again, it's the experience level that matters. Right.
So you don't bring back LeBeau as a veteran who can look upstairs and tell you what, since he is the architect of what you're still doing. You don't bring him back in. You don't. Oh, how about
I'm sure he would want to do it too. I bet.
Yes. When Sala got fired last year. Robert Saleh is an expert in the 3-4 defense. You don't offer him big money as a replacement since your team in the playoffs got smashed? And see, I look at this as Mr. Rooney. Mr. Rooney, look at some of the stuff your father did, sir. He went to a 4-time winning Super Bowl coach and told them there has to be some changes. He went to
Absolutely,
Bill Cowher
right.
and said there needs to be changes. But he won't go to you? I'm confused by that, Bob. And I bet
another guy you forgot, it was Brian Flores. He's a guy who's been around and had all that experience, and they could have kept him here too if they chose to, but they didn't. And they could have even given him a different title, whatever it may be, you know, just to keep him around. And I thought very strongly of that at the time, but they didn't do it. Anthony, I'm up against the break. Let me get quick thought about. No, don't go away. I want to get real quick, 30 seconds. Give me what you think about what happened tomorrow. Okay, well. I don't feel good about this game. Now, is it possible the Steelers come out desperation, backs against the wall kind of mode? Yes, absolutely. And if they do that, they can do it. The offense has done its part, I thought, largely. When you score 25, 30 points a game and lose, that's not a good sign, and that has to change. And we'll see what happens tomorrow against a team that is really flying high with Jonathan Taylor, not to mention Tyler Warren, and all the other guys that have a wide receiver. Pittman's been terrific. Pierce goes down the field, and Daniel Jones has had a reincarnation, but he's one of those guys who you always thought had so much talent. It was just about systems. It's just about second-chance quarterbacks. That's what I refer to them as. And we saw it with Sam Darnold. You've seen it with Baker Mayfield. You saw it with Geno Smith back in the day. Second-chance opportunities, and Danny Jones has certainly gotten one. He's running with it. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. This first game has wrapped up. Pine Richland has won it. We're going to talk to Casey White, who's in charge of this whole youth showcase here, and the fan is very happy to be part of it as well. We'll get his thoughts about what's coming up, what happened already. Good game right off the bat. We're live right now in Shaler. It's Bob Pompeiani, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back as we continue on this beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. Game one of many today is just concluded. Joining us right now is Mr. Casey White. He is the president of the Pine Richland Youth Football and Cheer Association. You couldn't have picked a better day for this, Casey.
No, it's a great day for Pine Richland, especially the 8U team that just pulled it out, a 12-0 nail-biter. But it was a great game for both teams.
They came up with a goal line stand, I see here, because North Hills was about to go in late in the game.
That was a big goal line stand. Our defense held their own and kept them out of the end zone.
So let's talk about what this whole thing is. You have many different games featuring many different age groups. We just saw the 8 and under. What do you have on the rest of the day here?
The next game up is the Pine Richland Rams 10U team versus the Mars Blue 10U team. And then to top off the afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have Pine Richland Green versus Pine Richland White for the Super Bowl as well.
So it's the Super Bowl classification for these. And I've noticed the participation, not just players who are, you know, football players, but also the cheerleading squads. You have like 60 on the field right now getting ready to do. So this is multifaceted, isn't it?
It is. Majority of the school district gets involved, and it's fantastic for the community. For our 8U girls, there's 60 girls on the cheer squad. I want to thank the coaches especially. That's a lot of wrangling in of girls throughout the season to handle. So they do a great job.
But it's almost like this is it's sort of a feeder system as you get up to the – not just for the cheerleaders but for the players as well. You start at this level. You work your way up. What is the interest level in terms of some of the youth players? I see a lot of them here. It seems like it's a healthy system all the way through.
Coach LaDon does a great job at our varsity program. He will be here shortly, I'm sure, if he's not already here. His son's playing in the Super Bowl for the 12U team. But he does a great job, and our motto is brick by brick. And these kids – they go to every game on Friday nights. They're cheering on the team. There's a lot of youth players on the sidelines during the game, and it's a great community to be a part of, especially Friday nights.
All right, so number 55, I don't know his name.
Roman Nebrezny.
Roman.
Roman.
So, okay, he had a fumble recovery and 2 touchdowns, right?
Yeah, he was our horse today. He is a leader of the team. He's tough as nails. He's a wrestler. Nothing fancy, just hard-headed, and he runs the ball well, and he hits, and he's our leader, and he's our horse today, certainly.
And he's 9 years old or 8 years old?
He just turned 9, but for football purposes, he's 8.
Wow. Amazing, and I can see that he's going to be one of those players as the years go on. We'll be talking about on Friday nights.
Roman Nebrezny, yep.
Roman Nebrezny. Let's talk about just the amount of time these kids spend here. Now, this is, for 8 and 9 years old, they got a lot of things going on, I would imagine, and they're still growing, they're still learning. But when it comes to interest in football, what have you seen from them in terms of how much time they put into this?
It's growing. Certainly, we started July 21st this year, and it's November 1st. And so it's a long season. They practice 4 nights a week throughout the season, and it's a grind. But these kids are, especially when they're winning, they really enjoy it. And it's a special group. We, according to Rydell, we're the largest youth football organization in the tri-state area. They calculate that by the number of helmets we have to order. So it's a great program to be a part of. Kelly Huffman was the president before I was, and working with him and also Coach LaDon at the top end with the high school team, we're very fortunate, but the kids especially are very fortunate. So I'm very thankful for all the teamwork, and I couldn't do it without Michael Schessler. He does a great job as my vice president. Ashley Ondich is the president of the Youth Cheer Association, and they're the brains of the operation.
I've always said, and I believe this, since I was young, when you get involved in sports programs, you learn a lot about yourself. You learn how to face adversity. They may not realize it now at this age necessarily, but what they're going through is a process to understand how kind of life works. Have you seen that? And they have to also be very responsible about learning playbooks, doing all these things in addition to being just a regular 8 and 9 year old.
Yeah, it takes a lot of discipline. I mean, these kids are grinding out there day in, day out, like I said, since July. And it does take a lot of discipline and commitment, especially from the parents too, because they got to get them to practice, got to wash their uniforms, got to make sure that their heads are on straight as best they can. I understand they're 12 and under. So, but it is a commitment for these kids, and it's impressive on both sides of the ball. Every organization, North Hills is a great organization. It's growing. Nick Kappas does a great job with them. You can see, they're disappointed today, but they had a great season, and they've worked hard since July as well. So it's nice to see that these kids are learning discipline and learning that win or lose, your parents still love you.
Absolutely, they do. I would imagine it's tough to try to figure out who's playing what. Everyone wants to be a star quarterback, right?
Yeah,
so how do you tell an 8-year-old who wants to, and there's probably all of them want to be a star quarterback, how do you know where they go, and are they willing to play these other positions?
That's tough. That's for the coaches. All the kids want to be the quarterback, the receiver, the running back. They want to get the ball. And, the coaches do a good job of trying to figure that out early in the season. They give every kid an opportunity. But once the kid, is put on the line, so to speak, and they see success, they really, develop as a young man and understand that it's a team game and line's important. And they have fun because they're in every play, they're hitting every play, and they're involved. And they, they seem to learn it as the season goes on, that, that if they're in the right spot and they're seeing success, they understand their role and they, you know, take a hold of it.
The other thing I like is the fact that we live in this digital world, technology, everything. I would tell this, and I tell it to my kids, grandkids, whatever, get involved in sports programs. Take yourself away from being mesmerized by a screen. It's going to happen enough just because we utilize these days, and this generation will definitely do that. But this is one way to encourage them to – there are so many facets to your young life. You can – don't stay on a device, an iPad, whatever, all day long. And I'm sure you feel the same way about this kind of stuff.
Certainly, especially when they get home from school now. They, you know, jump on a device and they're sitting there. But once practice starts, they get there at 5:30, they're – screen-free until 8:30, 9 o'clock. So it is nice, and they get involved, and they, you know, have real-life experiences, which I think is important for every kid, and no matter what sport you're playing. And I think, you know, getting kids away from these screens, it's a chore. I have 5 kids. I battle that battle every day, but I try and get my kids involved in all sports. And they, you know, throughout the year, they're involved. And that's important because it certainly is I don't want to say a problem, but an issue
is,
for parents.
It is an issue. There's no question it is. And like I said, we're all going to use it because that's the way it's going. But you have to know how to use it, when to use it, and hopefully stay away from it more than that. And screen free. I like that term. I'm going to use that now. Yeah, you got to be screen free tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.
I guess. I guess Pine Richland says that power down, Pine Richland. So
power down. That's a good one, too. Casey,
Bob, thank you
very much.
Thank
really
you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I know we at the Fan are happy to be here to support this Pine Richland Youth Sports Super Bowl going on today. That's Casey White. He's the president of the Pine Richland Youth Football and Cheer Association. We got 2 more games coming up here today, and I think it's a good thing that everybody in your communities out there generally, get kids involved in things. It doesn't necessarily have to be football. It could be any sport, but it also could be cheerleading, gymnastics. I know my grandkids are very involved in that. Anything that gets them away from the screen. And as Casey said, power down once in a while. That's one way to power up your life. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We will continue here until 12:30. So if you want to talk about anything, and I mentioned the Penguins in action today against Winnipeg, they're 8-2-2, another good test today. World Series. I'd like some of you to talk about the World Series. Who do you like? And how about that ending to the game last night? That was phenomenal. You never see a double play 7-4, left field to second base to end it. And that's what we had, a walk-off double play. Dodgers prevail. It'll go to a game 7 tonight. The Steelers and the Colts, your thoughts about that game. How do the Steelers stop one of the best offenses in the game? In fact, the number one offense. And then tonight we got the Riverhounds in Hartford playing at Highmark Stadium. It's a playoff match. It's the Riverhounds who have been in the playoffs 8 consecutive years. They're playing good soccer right now. We'll see if that can move on to the second round. It's all coming up today. Also today, of course, you have Penn State, which is about to start at 12 o'clock against Ohio State. And then after that, it's Pitt and Stanford. We'll get into all of that. 12:30, Johnny Patrician joins me. In the meantime, it's time for Charlie Bourgeois. That's what I like to call Charlie Bourgeois. Bourgeois. You don't have an update here?
No, that's it. I'm done for the hour.
So it's Joel Nelson then, right?
And then Mr. Passing Nelson will be taking over.
All right, Charlie, thank you for your good work. And coming up, it's Joel Nelson handling that. I'll be back with more of your phone calls at 412-928-9370. Call, air your opinions right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back. We are still here at Shaler getting ready for more youth football. It's the Youth Football Showcase and Super Bowl. I want to remind you that Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And the weather is outstanding. It's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today it's going to be beautiful. The sun is out and should be this way for the better part of the week with temperatures in the 50s. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. And we have a lot to get into. But again, I want to hit on the Penguins as much as I can too, because I don't think they're getting enough play for what they're doing at 8-2-2. Really good win the other night. I thought their best third period of the year on the road at Minnesota against a team that has struggled, no doubt, but they still had the number one power play in the NHL coming into that, and the Penguins just out-hustled them. 0-for-4 was the Wild on the power play. Penguins completely dominated that, I thought. And they got some tremendous efforts by some of the young guys. They had Ben Kindle on a line with Ville Koivunen and Tommy Novak, trusting those young kids. You still have Owen Pickering, who was brought up at defense. Harrison Brunick did not play, but these guys are young, and they're going to be future Pittsburgh Penguins. It's revitalized the older guys, I think. There's no question about that, because the top scoring duo in the NHL right now, despite all these great duos that you've heard about, including McDavid and Draisaitl is Sidney Crosby and Brian Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin combined 30 points, and that's number one among duos in the NHL. 412-928-9370. You want to talk about that? You want to talk about the World Series? Get your take on what happened there, just to change it up a bit. It was a classic finish. Never saw one of those before. I never saw a ball get stuck underneath a fence like it did, and that was the key to that entire inning. Addison Barger hits what looks like a run-producing double, perhaps triple, except the ball lodges right into the bottom of the fence, which by rule is automatic two bases. The guy at first would have scored easily. Instead, he has to go back to third, and then you have second and third still look good. And that's when Tyler Glasnow came in. And, boy, it's interesting that he got the call because he was supposed to be tentatively the Game 7 starter tonight, but he went in there and he got out of it with a pop-up to first and then a line drive to left. Good play, Kike Hernandez. Bad play, Addison Barger, who was doubled off of second on a really good scoop by Rojas, their second baseman. So what an ending to that. Want to talk about that, the Steelers-Colts. We got so much to get into at 412-928-9370. Let's get back to the lines and begin this hour with Ryan in New Jersey. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, Bob. I'm calling you about the Pens because it's not. I'm assuming I missed the first hour of Steelers angst.
That's why I want to move on to a lot of other things because there are some other things.
This is a good time to talk about that. Over there. It's definition of insanity. Everybody knows what the problem is, whether you want to admit it or not with the Steelers, but whatever. So the World Series, the one thing I love about Game 7s, we don't see that many of them, you know, World Series Game 7s, is baseball is so driven by the numbers and by avoiding injuries that tonight everybody can go out there and throw out their arm. It doesn't. It's the one time where really all hands are on deck and there's no tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that game. Anyway, regarding the Pens, and I thought for a long time, I've probably mentioned this to you over the years, I thought Mike Sullivan was the problem for a long time because I think after 19, maybe 20, his way wasn't working anymore. Again, this sounds familiar. It should sound familiar to Pittsburgh. If your way doesn't work anymore, you got to make a change. And it's the way that this team is playing with a lot of no names is it's just a completely different system, and you can see it play out because they have young legs. First off, you got to play young guys. It's a young man's game. Every game is a young man's game. So you have guys who aren't dead by the end of the second period on their legs. I mean, you still got the old 3-4 guys, five, however you may. I mean, Carlson, Tang, Malkin, Crosby. So you got still the older guys. But what is different now is that stupid F3 system where they expected the center to back check all the way down to cover up for the defenseman selling out and pinching on every rush. You don't see that now. They'll have guys come down the wings, maybe setting up like a potential odd man, but guys get back into the play to cover, and they cover the front of the net. And it doesn't matter how you're playing. If you play somewhat of a system and you have some youth, you can have success. I love what I'm seeing. I mean, that game against Minnesota was great. I saw them in person Tuesday night against my better judgment. I went to Philly, went across the river to see them. I'll let you go, and I appreciate the time. What I love about it is when Crosby scored the goal in the third, I've been watching it for 20 years in that place. I've probably seen 25-plus Pens games in Philly during the Crosby-Malkin era. And he has broken them. They used to boo and toss F-bombs like crazy. They can't even really muster it anymore. They can't even work up the energy. They put their hands over their face. He's broken them. I mean, Lemieux didn't have that. He broke them because they just don't know what to do with them anymore. And I love it. As an opposing fan.
Let me ask you this, too. What you all mentioned is true, and the infusion of young kids makes a difference. But I also think largely Tristan Jarry is one of the keys to this season already.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he and Chelios together have done very well, and I give a lot of credit to Jarry. He's faced a lot of negative comments, criticism from a lot of – tried to keep his nose to the grindstone despite all the trade talk, everything else. He has been outstanding, and I thought especially in that game early against Minnesota, he kept them where they needed to be.
Jarry has been great, and, I don't trust – most of us don't trust him with good reason. I mean, he's earned that rep at this point. But, that was another Sullivan thing is Matt Murray was not the guy. I mean, he was on two incredible teams. He kind of rode their coattails. He was Chris Osgood, basically. And he was not the guy, so that was the wrong choice at the time. We know why they made it. It was the wrong. Jarry was supposed to be the guy. He just hasn't delivered. But, man, he has played well. And maybe it's because there are no expectations for this team, at least not now. they got to stay in it through like Thanksgiving, basically. At 20 games, if you're leading the league in points, you're not a fluke. You're making the playoffs. But, you know, they're at, what, 12, 13 games or whatever it is now. So we're not quite sold on them. But if they can keep this up for another 3 weeks, yeah, they're making the playoffs. That's just statistically how the NHL works. And Jari's a huge part of that. I would apologize of all the crap I've said about him over the years.
I don't think you need to do that.
It's just
that, listen, you're right. He earned that reputation by some of the play in the postseason. I mean, more than anything else. Yeah. And until it gets to that point again where he could really take a step and silence people, he has to get there first.
Sorry.
And they're doing a pretty good job of taking the first step toward that.
Up the careers of multi-generational talents that just don't – we're spoiled because we've seen them for 40-plus years. But these guys don't come along that often. And and they burned up the last 5 years of these guys. It's the coach. I'm telling you, it's coaches named Mike in Pittsburgh that tend to be the problem. You infer that from what you will. But that is what the record says, you know, is just – it just didn't work anymore.
I totally agree with that concept. There have to be changes along the way, and if not, you're going to kind of be doing the same thing over and over. And I think, you know, I had no problem with them keeping Mike Sullivan as long as they did, but there was a time, especially in hockey, you know, the over and under in years to being head coach more than any sport in hockey is very low.
I think they tuned him out. Yeah. I think every hockey coach gets tuned out after about 5 years, and that's unfortunate because that's not fair to the coaches. But, you know, it is what it is. You're not going to change the entire dynamics of the sport, you know, for myself.
But what I will say is that Eric Carlson has changed a bit, and Chris Letang, too. I think Carlson has been much more responsible than we've seen him.
They both look good.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ryan, thanks.
Appreciate
it, all.
Enjoy the day.
You, too. 412-928-9370. I mean, those guys have been – you know, really good. I think Ryan Shea being back into the lineup has been really good for them. They brought in Parker Watherspoon, who's been good for them. Brazeau and Mantha so far have been very good. These are all things that they did in the offseason that went totally under the radar, and yet the results have been pretty good for Kyle Dubas right now and Dan Muse, who I give a lot of credit to because he's not afraid to put guys in. And maybe it's, you know, he's in a way playing with house money. You know, the expectations were low. He can do what he wants because the expectations were low. Everything knows when expectations get risen and they are up higher, all of a sudden, you know, you're more responsible for stuff. So good start for them. We'll see how it goes today. Winnipeg is a very good team, and they certainly have Stanley Cup aspirations out there. And then I believe it's Toronto on Monday night, and the Leafs are in the same boat. Big Eastern Conference matchup. All right, we're going to take a break here, Joel, if that's okay, and come back, and then we'll round up this show, take more calls if we can get them at 412-928-9370. And then it's Johnny Patrician. Johnny P. will be here. We're talking about Pitt and Stanford in our preview of this game coming up today, 3:30 on 93.7 The Fan. I'm Bob Pompiani, live at Shaler for the Youth Showcase of Football. And it's a big day for all these young kids are out here playing today. We'll be back with more right after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back. We continue live right here in Shaler Youth Football Classic, the showcase. A lot of stuff going on here with Pine Richland. We have the North Hills Youth here. We have Mars. And it's a beautiful day for these kids to have their time in the sun and the cheerleaders as well. Tons of them here getting ready for the second game of three today. 412-928-9370. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Johnny Patrician and I will talk about Pitt and Stanford, but we believe Kevin is in Las Vegas or is from Vegas. Kevin, are you at Palo Alto today?
I am. I'm getting ready to leave the hotel in Mountain View and go up here in about an hour so I can drop my bag off. They got a bag hold if you're going to the airport right after the game because I got to head back to Vegas. I got work tomorrow.
Okay. Well, you're there for a reason. What's your reason for being there?
Well, I'm there to watch Pitt beat up on Stanford and continue their march towards the playoffs. Hey, you brought it up earlier. It's simple. Pitt wins out. Pitt's in not just the AC championship game. They win the AC championship game. They're in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
There's no way the committee's leaving a team out that lost two games early, replaced their quarterback, and has won every game since, including their conference championship. Now, that being said, they're in this position because Pat waited a game too long to pull this trigger. He should have pulled the trigger after the West Virginia game, like you were saying. But it's all right in front of them because Louisville's going to lose a game before the end of the season, probably at FMU in a couple weeks, and or maybe in this week against California at home. And the same thing with Virginia's going to lose one of their three games. So Pitt has it in front of them. If they don't get there, it's on them again. So I don't care if they're not ranked yet right now. I don't care if they're not ranked for the next 5 weeks. If they win out, they're in the championship game, and then they're in the playoffs. Hey, real quick on the Penguins. Everybody wants to continue to keep bringing things up on Jari. When it's amazing how good the kid plays when there's consistent defense being played in front of him and he only has to occasionally or for a period make a bunch of great saves. And the biggest difference this year is Letang is playing disciplined hockey for the first time in 5 or 6 years. I know, but you know what? We knew Eric was undisciplined when we traded for him. So I don't throw as much shade on Eric for playing undisciplined the last few years as I do Letang, because he's been here forever. So that being said, by the way, last thing, Tony brought up that he doesn't think that it's appropriate for a championship coach to be, you know, chanted as far as being fired. He won a championship nearly 17 years ago with the other guy's team and culture, and it's been a steady downward trend since then. He's earned the chance if they come. I don't think they'll come, but if they come, he's earned the chance.
Kevin, thanks. I appreciate the call from Vegas, now in Stanford. So hopefully you'll see a win today, and if so, that sets up a, you know, and they have a very good time for a bye week. Man, you couldn't ask for a better bye week if you're Pitt after this game. If they win, and then they have Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Miami coming up. And, boy, they'll be rested, and they should be ready to go for that game. Thank you, Kevin. Let's move along to Jim in Mount Lebanon, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hey, Bob, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question for you. I read something this morning that there are people that want to eliminate the intentional walk in baseball. And
what do you mean? They've already done that. You mean eliminate it altogether from the game? In other words, you can't do it.
Correct.
I thought you meant because they don't even bother. If you want to walk, they just put you on. They don't have to make four pitches, which I always thought was stupid anyway.
Right. And I read an article this morning, though, that we should do away with that as well because we're taking the bat out of people's hands like Ohtani. And I completely disagree with that, but I wondered what your thoughts were.
I think it's been a part of baseball for a long time. I'm glad they do it the way they do it now, but that's strategy. You know, we've seen it for years where guys who are really good at what they do, like Barry Bonds, yeah, you're taking a bat out of their hands, but that's part of the strategy. You're also putting it in the hands of another person. And if that person comes up with a hit, that strategy backfires. I love baseball mostly because I love strategy. I was one of those at the very beginning of this who did not want to see designated hitter come to the National League, but I have warmed up to that now more than ever probably. But to me, you make a choice there. And if you're going to continue to put Ohtani on, you may pay the price because they have a pretty good guy behind him in Betts and Freeman. And it's amazing to me that they've been so willing to do it, but they have. Barry Bonds in the day, right? Jim, you remember this. They walked him with the bases loaded. They forced in a run just to make sure they didn't get any more damage.
Right, right. No, I absolutely agree with you. I just wondered what your thoughts were, and I would hate to see them eliminate that strategical move that people can make.
Yeah, we'll see what happens today. You got a feeling about Game 7?
Toronto.
Oh, okay. Coming back, and we'll see. Ohtani's on the mound for I don't know how long he'll pitch because he's going on 3 days rest, I guess. That'll be interesting to see. And, boy, if Toronto doesn't win, oh, my goodness, that ball that gets stuck under the left field fence, right? If that ball doesn't get stuck, they have a run and probably a guy on third.
Right. Right, and it completely changed the game. But, you know, as they say, that's the way the ball bounces or whatever. But I think Toronto's going to get it. And I hope so because, you know, as a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates, until we get a floor or a cap as far as the salary, I just don't want to see Los Angeles and New York win it every year.
Yep. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Well, I talked to Clint Hurdle this week, and he's all for a floor minimum. And we may see that if things become, difficult with these two sides, the players and the owners at the end of next year, and it could end up being a work stoppage. If it takes that to get that into the game, I'm all for it. Let's go one more call. We go to Beaver Falls here. We have Sabu. What's going on, Sabu?
How you doing, Bob?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, I was just talking about Pitt season. I'm rooting for them, and hopefully they win out, get in. But they definitely have a lot of work ahead of them. They got, you know, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Miami. I think the Georgia Tech game, that's the one where they may have some problems down there. I think they're going to have issues stopping that King. That may be the game there.
Yeah, well, that's going to be the game, quite frankly, in my view. The road game at a place where I don't think they played all that well, and that team is still undefeated. Although, you know, Miami's certainly capable at the end. But those two games being at home, Notre Dame, Miami should help Pitt, I think. And even without Notre Dame in the conversation, if they win today and win the next two after that, they will have a spot in the ACC championship game, right? And then we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, right. And, let me ask you one quick question. Do you think they're like one stud defense lineman away, Pitt, like from – I mean, it just seems like there's something missing there on defense.
Had some injuries, but I also think that, you know, sometimes Pat Narduzzi needs to adjust how he plays defense later in games. He's a big press coverage man-on-man, and I like that to a certain extent, but when you have leads – sometimes you can get burned by playing that kind of football, and that's just a generalization of what he does. But they've recruited well. I'll give them a lot of credit. They've also developed guys very well. Most of these guys that you see, you know, for example, Heinchel was, I don't think anyone really gave him an opportunity to be a scholarship guy. I don't know how many offers he got, but he was here. Nobody even talked about him, and whatever reason, he's developed, or some people missed his talent, which was, you know, when you watch him play, you wonder how that could happen. So they've done a good job recruiting and bringing in developing guys.
Yep. All right, Bob. Well, thanks a lot. Have a good day.
All right, Sabu. Thank you. Appreciate the call. And that's going to wrap it up. I just want to, again, talk about tomorrow. We got the game on KDK pregame with the Steelers and Colts. Begins at 11:30 a.m. Charlie Batch and I will get you set for that at the FedEx Great Hall over at Acrisure Stadium. And then tonight, preceding that, it's Alumni Weekend. This is, can you believe how fast this has gone? 20th anniversary of the 2005 Super Bowl, Super Bowl 40 at Detroit. We have a big dinner tonight. I'm honored to be the MC of that dinner. We have just about everyone coming in for that one, Bill Cowher included, and then he'll go to Buffalo to do his NFL Today job tomorrow, and I wonder if he's going to go through a table again like he did the last time there. That Bills Mafia is very influential. They'll make him do some stuff there. And I give him credit. He's 60, whatever he is. He's older than me a little bit, I think, 65, 66. I'm 65, and he's going through those tables. We'll see if that happens again. Aaron Smith in town, Fanica, Ferrier, Ben Roethlisberger will be there, Jerome Bettis, Joey Porter, Dick LeBeau coming back. Should be a great night at the UPMC Club over at Acrisure Stadium. So that's going to wrap it up. Coming up next, thanks to Seth and the boys out here to get it done. Thanks to Joel Nelson. We have its Pitt Panther preview show as we talk about Pitt and Stanford. That's coming up 3:30 this afternoon on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We'll get you set for it all coming up next right here on 93.7 The Fan. By the way, before I go, I got to give you the weather because if I don't do that, then it may change. And I don't want it to change, quite frankly, because the weather is good right now and you want that to continue. So Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. If you look out your window, you'll see what kind of weather it is. It's beautiful outside. It's typical crisp fall day, temperatures in the 50s. It should be that way tomorrow as well. Have a great day. JP and I are back right after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.